Now, yesterday, Ireland, Spain and Norway signalled that it will join with 140 other countries, more than 140 other countries, in recognising the right of Palestinians to have a state in the West Bank, Gaza and East Jerusalem. The move by Ireland was widely welcomed by many civil society groups, opposition parties and supporters of Palestine. However, Israel and its supporters fiercely criticised the move, warning that it was a reward for Hamas and it would have diplomatic consequences. From Jerusalem now, I am joined by Iran Etzion, a diplomat, strategist and former deputy head of Israel's National Security Council. You're very welcome to Morning Ireland and thank you indeed for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Commentators in various countries this morning, this from the New York Times, they said the latest that this move by Ireland, Spain and Norway is the latest brick in the wall of rejection being built around Israel's current far-right government, which is asking the world to let it destroy Gaza while refusing to work on a new future with non-Hamas Palestinians. Do you expect that this move that we have seen yesterday and building international pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu, do you expect it to have any effect?
First of all, the New York Times is right. There is a far-right government in Israel, which was democratically elected back in January 23. But even before October 7th, and certainly as of October 8th, lost the legitimacy and the trust of the vast majority of Israelis. This is backed up in multiple opinion polls. Approximately 70 to 80% of Israelis, as of October 8th, said we want early elections. Half of them said as soon as possible, and the other half said as soon as the war subsides. The war has lasted for over 7 months. It is subsiding. Therefore, most Israelis right now want early elections, and when they're asked, is Netanyahu motivated by the national interest or by his own political, personal, criminal interests, most of them, about 60%, say the latter. He's motivated not by the national interest. So this is where we are. Mm-hmm. And the distinction made by Senator Chuck Schumer and others between the Netanyahu government and its supporters on the one hand, and the state of Israel and the majority of Israelis on the other, is the prism through which one should look at Israel at this point. So when you ask what is good for Israel, what is pro-Israel, what is against Israel, you must make this distinction. And when it comes to the two-state solution, this is a government, the second in Israeli history, unfortunately the former government was the first, to say in its first coalition outline, in the formation document of the government, that they are not seeking a two-state solution, but rather the perpetuation of the status quo. And this government declared in writing that there is only one people that has the right for any kind of statehood in the greater land of Israel, which is the Jewish people. So it's not a surprise that they're against the two-state solution. It was true before October 7th, and it's true after.
And given what happened on October 7th, and given the slaughter of Israeli citizens, and given the hostages that are still being held in Gaza, I wonder, as distinct from the government and what they have been saying in Israel about this move by the three countries, how Israeli citizens might view this move?
Well, you see, because of what you correctly say is a horrific, traumatic, unprecedented historic event in the 75 years history of this country, the massacre of October 7th, the entire Israeli population can be defined and even diagnosed clinically as post-traumatic. Actually, there are clinical studies that show exactly that 40% of Israelis are clinically depressed and clinically post-traumatic. It's horrible, it's unfortunate, that's where we are. So many people are not thinking clearly, and justifiably and understandably so. Mm. Nevertheless, as a nation, certainly the political leadership, certainly people with experience in strategy and policy and so on, who are trying to think about the situation clearly, understand that there is only one credible, realistic, internationally recognized resolution for this conflict and for this war, which is in whichever way, shape, or form, a reincarnation of the two-state solution. This is why what the Biden administration is working on, with the support, obviously, of most, if not all, European countries, and many important Arab countries, first and foremost, the Saudis. So there is a deal on the table that begins with a hostage release and an extended ceasefire, essentially an end to the war, continues through a truce agreement with Lebanon on the Lebanese side of this conflict, and all the way to the grand bargain with the Saudis. Admittedly, it's extremely complicated. Hamas and Iran and others will resist it. It's by no way guaranteed. But that's the only diplomatic game in town. And this is what a credible, reasonable, legitimate Israeli government should have seized as an opportunity. Unfortunately, this government is against it.
So many moving parts here to a negotiation. Mm-hmm. But if we turn as well to the International Criminal Court and the prosecutor there seeking these arrest warrants now for Israeli and Hamas leaders. Shameful, the United States has said, worries about equivalence being drawn between Hamas and Israel. How do you view that move?
It's true that there is no equivalence or symmetry between Hamas and Israel or the Israeli government or Israeli leaders. But this is not what the ICC says. It's a distortion of what it says. There's no equivalence if you ask Mr. Karim Khan, and there's no equivalence if you read the papers and if you listen to what he said. So it's a spin. It's very unfortunate that we got to this situation that Israeli leaders are subpoenaed by the ICC or might be subpoenaed if the judges approve. But as a democratic country, we should have been able to investigate, prosecute if necessary on our own, what is known as in the international legal circles as the complementarity principle, i.e. if a sovereign nation is capable and actually prosecute, investigate, and so on, any alleged crimes, war crimes, and so on, then the ICC doesn't need to intervene. So I still hope that we will have elections, we will have a new government, we will have a national investigative committee, and we will execute our sovereignty vis-a-vis any suspicions or allegations or issues that need to be investigated on our own and not in the ICC.
Well, Iran Etzion, thank you for your analysis on our program this morning.